This morning, we are in the midst of a sermon series called Mentors of Faith. And in this sermon series, we've examined six biblical characters, and we try to figure out what can these six biblical characters teach us now? What wisdom can we glean from each of them for our lives, for our faith, for our time? And it has been an interesting journey. 2 weeks ago, we talked about Noah. We talked about how Noah was willing to obey God, even when God asked him to do something totally new and totally risky. And we learned from Noah especially that one person can make a difference in the world. And sometimes that one person is us. Last week, we had some wisdom from the book of Ruth and from the characters Ruth and Naomi in particular. And we learned that the ordinary moments in our lives, the moments that we don't think are particularly special or memorable at all, but those moments can be part of God's great story of humanity, and we have a part in that too. In the coming weeks, we will hear about Moses, we will hear about the servant girl, and we'll hear about Joseph. And today, we're going to zero in on Isaiah. Now, Isaiah was an Old Testament prophet. He lived hundreds of years before Jesus. And I wonder, what can someone from that long ago teach us today? Will you pray with me? God, in this hour of connecting with you, would you give us ears to hear and hearts to listen for your still small voice. Help this to be an opportunity for learning and challenging ourselves to live in the world more like Jesus, more like the one who walks with us in our suffering, more like the one who challenges us to love without questioning, the one who shares his very self with us in our communion meal. May this be a time of inspiration. In your name we pray. Amen. So I start this morning with a little bit of a confession. The book of Isaiah is in the Old Testament, what some people call the Hebrew Bible. And that's the part of the Bible that records the life and times of people prior to the birth of Jesus. When I started seminary a few years ago, I was not a big fan of the Old Testament. I saw it as kind of a dry and dusty preamble to the real action, to the real important part about the life and times of Jesus. The Old Testament was sort of a necessary but not very interesting set of texts that we had to kind of get through before we could get to the good stuff. But my friends, I was wrong. I came to love the Old Testament in part because of a gifted professor, and I came to especially love the words of the prophets. Isaiah was a prophet, and what do we know about prophets? Well, to begin with, I think many of us have or had a sense that prophets are this unique kind of like a fortune teller. We have this impression that they have a crystal ball, that they can see into the future, kind of like a gypsy at a carnival. But really, prophets are more like the interpreter of their times. They're the ones that see if the people or the kings or the system continues on the current trajectory, what might happen. Prophets deliver a message of justice. They challenge people to move into a closer relationship with God. And prophets are the ones that have this personal kind of ethic that they really have this expectation of themselves, that they're going to stand up and they're going to speak out and they're going to stay the course in spite of what it might cost them, and the costs could be great. And when you think about it, this requires an enormous amount of courage and a lot of personal risk. Prophets, in short, are truth tellers. They are anointed and called by God to deliver an urgent message in spite of what the consequences might be. And there definitely could be consequences, sometimes serious ones. And Isaiah was one of those prophets who spoke truth to power at a time when it was especially difficult to do so. Now, I'm not so sure I would sign up for that job. Would you? Even though Isaiah was a prophet, we don't know a lot about him, at least not biographically. We do know that he lived in Jerusalem. We do know that his father was Amos, not Amos, the person in the Bible who has a book, Amos, another prophet in the Bible. Isaiah's father was not Amos, but Amos, A-M-O-Z. Could be confusing. Isaiah is probably a member of the royal family or close to the royal family because he had easy access to the kings. We're not entirely sure about that, but scholars are pretty sure that that's quite likely, that he was very close to that royal family. Isaiah lived about 700 years before Christ, and this was a time of tremendous cultural and political upheaval. In the time that Isaiah was active in his prophetic role, Jerusalem and the surrounding region was being attacked by rival armies, and those armies were seeking to take control of the valuable geographical area so that the trade routes could be controlled and taxes could be collected. And for the Israelite people to whom Isaiah was speaking, it was a most difficult time. They were experiencing war and persecution and conflict on all sides and political unrest and both a personal and a communal sense of loss. They had lost their old ways of life, the ways that were peaceful and predictable and hopeful. In short, they had lost their mojo. And Isaiah has a word for these people. He says to them, "Don't lose your hope." Don't lose your hope, he says. God is still active. God is still in control. You have been given as a light to the nations, and you are not alone. Now, friends, we're here in the year 2020, and we're hundreds of years after Isaiah proclaimed this message to his people. And yet, in spite of the passage of time, I wonder if we might be a little like Isaiah's audience too. Are you having a hard time hanging on to hope in these tumultuous times? Well, a quick scan of this week's headlines gives us many reasons to lose hope or lose heart. There are fires in Australia. The European Union is in upheaval. There's the coronavirus in China, and it's spreading to other parts of the world. We've just, as a country, experienced a tragic helicopter crash that's touched many people. And no matter where you find yourself on the political continuum, there is no denying that we are a nation that is in deep conflict. There is so much fighting. There is so much negativity at every turn. They're shouting and screaming at each other. Not a lot of deep listening. So little trying to understand each other. And we have a tendency, particularly in social media, to demonize those with whom we disagree. Even in our own denomination, there is uncertainty and there is weariness, right? In the face of all of this, it is oh so tempting to just throw up our hands in despair and hopelessness. It's easy to go numb, to quit making an effort, and to just say, I'm powerless to change anything about this mess. And if I quote a commercial from my childhood, we might say, Calgon, take me away. The Israelites to whom Isaiah preached were in exile. They had lost their homes, they had lost their homeland, they had lost members of their own family. They had a sense that God had disappeared. They had a sense that God had left them alone and afraid, that God had left them unsure of their future and ready just to surrender. And they were wanting to give up in hopelessness and apathy and just say, well, I guess that's how it is. And Isaiah comes to them and he says, there is good news. Isaiah spoke this truth to his very weary people, people who were living in their own experience of despair and darkness, people who had been so deeply discouraged by all that was happening in the world, and people who had felt like they had been abandoned by God. And now, in 2020, Isaiah's words call to us. Isaiah calls to us to not lose our hope, to hang on to the conviction that God is indeed doing God's work, that we are a part of it, and that all is not lost. Isaiah calls us to trust, to not be afraid, to give thanks to God, to be God's people in this time and place. Maybe you noticed in the first scripture reading from this morning that Carla provided for us that there is a word, that Isaiah's word to his people and to us, that is that they and we have been given to the world as a sign of God's covenant and God's faithfulness. We, as they, are expected to be a light to the nations, to open the eyes of the blind, to free prisoners, to model a way of life that brings justice and mercy rather than giving up in despair and hopelessness. We have a role to play in this. We just sang it. Our role is to trust in God, to not be afraid, to give thanks, to proclaim God's truth, and to live in God's way in a world that sorely needs God's light. We are called in this time and place to remember our truth. Now, a couple of weeks ago, I did a little informal research on social media. Nothing scientific, mind you. I have no equations that will verify any of it. But I asked a question on social media that came from the contemporary theologian Barbara Brown Taylor. I love her. I love her work. Commend her work to you. She wrote a book, and she's written several books, but in one of her books is An Altar in the World. Taylor is asks the question, what is saving your life right now? Taylor describes a time when she was asked to come and speak to a group and address this question, what is saving your life right now? And the premise is that we're all pretty well aware of that which is dragging us down in any given moment. We could be being dragged down by politics or employment or health or relationship struggle or climate change or any manner of things that tugs at our heartstrings. We know what's dragging us down. But Barbara Brown Taylor was asked to address the question, what is saving your life right now? So I ask you that question. First of all, how much time do we spend asking ourselves or focusing on what is feeding our souls at any given time? Well, in my informal, unscientific social media research, I got some great responses, and a lot of the responses came from members of this faith community. And here are some of the things that were listed. Highest on the list was relationship with caring family and friends. Community is important. Also listed, pets, nature, coffee, the courage that lives in a community, grace, prayer, accepting the love that is offered, therapy, gratitude, kindness, and laughter. Now, I'm grateful for all of these things as well because they all play a part in keeping us grounded and helping us to trust in a God who makes a way when there just doesn't seem to be a way forward. Part of Isaiah's role as he prophesied to the Israelites in the midst of their pain was to remind them who they are and to whom they belong. The people in Isaiah's day had forgotten who they were, and they had let their circumstances define them. They had let their immediate situation take over rather than setting their sights on being God's people. At that point, they were ready to throw in the towel. And they had lost track of the truth that the God that we worship and the God that we serve and the God that remains active with us hundreds of years later is a God who makes a way forward when there does not seem to be a way. So, friends, we're not all that different than Isaiah's original audience. We find ourselves overwhelmed with our current challenges. We have a laundry list of that which is dragging us down, do we not? We become discouraged at the loud and incessant voices in our culture that seek to divide and demonize. But the truth is, we remain God's people. We remain rooted in God's claim and promise that God will provide us with all that we need to be strong and brave and courageous, to walk with God in the midst of a world that desperately needs God's truth and needs the hope that we find in Christ. So we learn from Isaiah that we can be that source of truth and hope, and we can do that for ourselves. We can do it for others, and we can do it for the world. Surely it is God who saves me. I will trust in God and not be afraid. Amen.